Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a valley and die, let you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. We're here for episode number 408, and it is a great night in Central Kentucky. In fact, it feels like spring. Loving it, loving it, loving it. And this is Stephen Zimmer broadcasting to you live. And joining me tonight in the co-hosting chair, plural, yes, we have the lovely, the vivacious, the loquacious Holly Phillippe. And also, 4 minutes from showtime, I got informed that we have a special co-host with her as well. The one, the only, Metalbeck Harrison. So, yes, I think they are both logged in. I think their mic is on. Hopefully they're hearing me. Hey, guys.
We are.
I'm hearing you.
There they are. Holly and Beck. This is awesome. We got a bonus tonight.
Bonus.
Welcome. Welcome back, Beck. We've missed you. Well, I know you've been working a very busy schedule, but it's great to have you back on the show.
I'm so happy to be back. I can't believe I'm actually off for once for this.
I know, it's amazing. Personally, I think you should be given off every Wednesday to be a part of this, but unfortunately, yeah. I don't make that schedule, but I'm glad you're here tonight, and you picked a good night because we have an incredible guest, somebody that I just think is very fascinating and really looking forward to talking to and has multifaceted is going to be the word of the evening. And, the chat room is open, folks, so go ahead and refresh your pages if you have any trouble logging in. Sometimes it's a little tricky. Award-winning author and screenwriter Carol Preflatish wins the first person in the chat room. Again, we haven't gotten to the stage where we have prizes for that just yet, Carol, but you're still a winner. You're still a winner tonight. And, speaking of Carol, over the next few days, I'm actually finishing up editing work on a new Lawrence Wheel novel and a new Carol Preflatish novel. I'm finishing up the editing work on those over the next several days and going to be getting those back to them. So I can tell you that Carol's got another gem coming to you all from the Nathan Perry mystery series. I can say that. So that's going to be awesome. So, I've been editing quite a lot lately, folks. A lot. So let's just put it there. But it's been great, and I'm going to go ahead and we got updates for you from the convention, of course, because the Imaginarium Convention is affiliated with Star Chamber Show podcast. So we always want to give you news and updates, and I know Holly will have some things to talk about in regard to this, because we actually had a lot happen in the last week. I didn't realize how much until I reviewed it for the show, but we had 3 new panelists announced, and we had no less than 10 new panels added to programming. So I'll go ahead and give you a quick rundown on the. It's awesome. I mean, Holly just keeps on confirming. There's a lot in the works. I mean, I've seen all the chatter with her and some of the guests and some of the things that are kind of going up on the board, and just great stuff coming down the pike and being confirmed and pretty much confirmed. But these are the things that have gone in officially. They are happening this summer, so I'll give you a rundown. And there are 10 of them. Here's one. Writing for Children. It's going to be an in-depth discussion on writing age-appropriate prose for children. Another one on today's gaming. And it's going to talk about how far we've come in graphics, technology, and storytelling in the world of video game development and how our culture is affecting today's gaming scene. That's going to be a real good one. NaNoWriMo, should I stay or should I go? This one's going to be very timely. And it's, it involves some issues that were allegedly ignored in the past, going back 10 years. and it's blown up quite a bit as a topic among the NaNoWriMo community. And, yeah, it's about whether you should continue to participate. Very intriguing discussion by a longtime NaNoWriMo participant and supporter and panelist. Karma Haley Shoemaker is the moderator on that one. Should be a really interesting and timely discussion. And we do like to work in current things like that each year into the mix of our programming. We also have Creating Relatable LGBTQ Characters in Film and Books, and this one's a discussion on hollow representation of the LGBTQ community in books and film, and discuss, you know, forced checkmark box type characters that some writers and screenwriters are using, and whether or not they're creating truly relatable characters. So yes, more organic character development as opposed to, you know, what I even call like shoehorning characters. And I think that's going to be a really good discussion. Yeah, very needed, and, you know, or good organic, relatable characters. Authenticity, and yes, and you should be striving for authenticity in your writing. And so that's going to be a very interesting, very good discussion for all genres of writers. And then we have also, like I said, it's a lot of good stuff. 3D printing possibilities, moderated by David Sheridan, and that's going to show you how you can have your characters in books, films, and games created into physical creations for marketing your products, for game pieces, props, or films, for swag, or making passive income. But 3D printing, and yeah, David is phenomenal in that. He has an arsenal of 3D printing, really top-end guy when it comes to that. There will be some great panelists on that one. Audiobook how-to, and this one will have audiobook professionals, narrators, that will teach you how to create your own audiobook, search for narrators, and how to audition them, and discuss the different platforms for uploading and selling audiobooks. Creating comics, and this is all about developing an indie comic. A lot of good growth in that area, especially with Kickstarter projects, and comic book artists and comic book writers are going to come together on this panel to kind of give you an overview on how to create your own comic book. We also have poetic trauma, which is a discussion on how poetry can help heal past traumas, and also learn how poetry can stun listeners into silence. So yeah, this is going to be a great poetry themed panel. Then we're going to have writing faith-based stories in different genres. And this is going to be an overview on the ways to approach writing faith-based stories in different genres, maintaining the spiritual aspects of the story while also including the core elements for the specific genres you're writing in. And so, yes, that might cover everything from thrillers to fantasy to romance. Yeah, everything. So, but yeah, writing faith-based fiction in lots of different contexts can be a good one. Then also the horror speeding dating game, and this is one from the gang. I love these guys. James Sabato, Donald Guillory, see their names on it. You want to go to these. These are fun. Donald R. Guillory is the moderator on that one, and yes, I got to read it to you. Ever wonder what it'd be like to date the Wolfman, Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, or hey, maybe Godzilla or Cthulhu? And what questions would you ask of them? What would make each one an ideal date? Join us as we play Horror Speed Dating, where audience members get to ask questions of horror icons and monsters to determine which is the best possible fit for that missing piece of your heart. And, yes, that's going to be an absolute fun one. That'll probably be, I'm guessing, Holly will have that one in the evening. It'll be well attended. It'll be definitely packed, so you want to get there a little early if you want to get a good seat. These are fun, the ones with audience participation. And as far as panelists goes, we had three really good ones announced over the past week. One is Martha Haynes, and she is a writer, artist, graphic designer, and cosplayer. And she's absolutely great at what she does. Very, very talented individual. We also added for the first time to Imaginarium, Jamie D'Amato, and she is an author, and she is represented by John Cusick and Folio Literary Management, and has a new novel set for release in 2020. From Wednesday Books and imprint from Macmillan. So, yeah, she's definitely going to have a lot as far as dealing with agents and the traditional publishing path with the Big Five and all that. So definitely going to be a great addition to our programming. Then we also today announced Jim Miller is going to be a panelist with us, and he had a 24-year career in the Air Force and Special Operations and is a transport pilot, and he is a writer of thrillers set in World War II, the Cold War, War and Vietnam. And he also writes thrillers as J. Esker Miller. Some of those thrillers, oh, I loved them. Looked really cool. Looked like they had a little bit of cryptozoology kind of worked into them, too. So that's some interesting stuff. So, yeah, he writes also as J. Esker Miller and then, of course, as Jim Miller. But he's going to be an absolutely phenomenal guest. Looking forward to having him. So, yeah, there, Holly. Yeah, 10 new panels. And do you have anything you wanted to go over in addition?
Not right at this moment. I do want to say we had a question about tables. We do have a few tables left. I suggest you get on it while you can, because the closer to May we get, the less room, you know, we're going to have left.
They'll sell out.
And unless you go on a waiting list, you know, if somebody cancels or whatnot. But, yeah, I would suggest we're getting into April, getting close to April. Definitely grab them while you can.
Yeah, do not wait. They're getting real low in inventory. We just had somebody, we just had three new vendors come aboard in the last few days. So, I mean, they are whittling down. We have space in both Creators Alley and the main expo hall still as of now. But, yeah, it's a very, very low inventory at the moment. But you do get an 8-foot table covered with two chairs. We also give a full weekend event ticket with the table. So if you factor in the cost of the weekend event ticket with the table, I mean, it's really a bargain. And then also you can share them. So some places say that you cannot share with other artists or other parties on a space. In ours you can, but it's just that one party has to make the reservation with us. So you can work it out with, you know, whoever and split the cost, whatever you want to do, but just have one party make the reservation with us and that's good to go. You can use the space however you want to. You can have two people be with you, or if you'd like, or three even, you can fit all of them in. But yes, we do allow sharing. So yeah, definitely that's a good point, Holly. Good point. So what else? Is there anything else on the radar, or should we go and give tonight's folks that brought us the show yet?
Let's do it. Let's talk about our sponsors.
Yes. Oh, and shout out to Amy McCorkle and Dewan Hearn. Moon is in there right now. So, yeah, chat room is building up. And, yeah, thank you to Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, for supporting tonight's show, along with the fine folks at Per Bostet Publications. I'll first give you over to Sandy, and if you're online tonight, go to her YouTube channel, Sandy Says Read YouTube. Give it a like or subscribe, I should say, and hit that bell for notifications. Great channel, lots of content, and well worth checking out. But here's a little bit from Sandy.
Hey, Star Chamber listeners. Did you know that author Sandy Lender has a BookTube channel on YouTube? She's using the platform to talk about books and stories and indie authors and new characters you might not have heard of before. And she's doing it all with a positive spin. Check out Sandy Lender at Sandy Says Read on YouTube for all the creative, bookish goodness.
Thank you, Sandy. You're awesome. And again, hashtag Sandy Says Read. Yeah, check it out, folks. Great channel. And also the folks at Per Bostet Publications brought you tonight's episode. Here's a little bit about them. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Following the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia, or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at perbostetpublications.com. At Amazon, you can find the press in person at Inca Junction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you, and shout out to Tuli Harris, Marion Allen, and Sarah Marion, the Literary Triumvirate. Thank you very much for supporting the Star Chamber Show. You guys are awesome. So now we're coming back here and just seeing there what's going on. Do we have anything going on in the chat room? Do we have any announcements, Holly? Anything coming out of there? Because I haven't got a chance to scroll through yet.
I've we're chit-chatting and having a good little discussion.
Yeah.
You could talk about
nice.
We've got some things going on this month. We actually will be going to the Writer's Workshop with Michael Nost and doing
yes.
that in a couple weeks.
True. I got added in. Yeah, along with, it's a special writer's workshop, and there's going to be about six writers, I think it's six, and where I'm going in as a guest author and editor, and along with Tim Wagoner, best-selling author, award-winning author, of course, and then award-winning author editor Michael Nost, and Tim, Michael, and I will be critiquing the work of these writers during a full weekend retreat in West Virginia, and yes, it's going to be great. We get to stay in a cabin, whole nine yards. It's beautiful. So looking forward to it. But yeah, it's going to be a fun adventure with of course, I mean, when you're with people like Tim Wagner and Michael Nost, I mean, they're some of the best in the business when it comes to creative writing instruction. And so for me, it's a real honor to be a professional guest with them in the critique. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that quite a bit. That's going to be awesome. And some really good writers in the mix that are coming to participate. And so I'm looking forward to doing all the mentoring and give as many insights as I can. And hopefully I can contribute a bit to each of them. So looking forward to it. But I know you are too, Holly.
Yeah.
That'll be nice.
Okay. I'm going to work while you're doing your critique. I'm going to be working on Imaginarium stuff. So.
That's true, but you'd be almost like you're like a bonus guest because you're an editor and you've run publishing and everything else. I mean, you know how to work conventions, and so yeah, your presence there is could also get. I got a hunch you're going to be able to give some insights too in various areas. Yeah, I don't think. I think you'll be like having a 2-for-1 deal with bringing me in. I'll get two guests there, but. Yes, tonight's guest is on deck, and I am excited because this is the first time that we've had this guest on the Star Chamber Show live podcast. Now, we did have one of his authors, Nicholas Everhart, just a couple of weeks ago. If you missed that show, do catch it. Tonight's guest is the president of the Cincinnati Fiction Writers. He also runs Dragon Street Press, a multi-genre small press based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And yes, he's even got a brand new film project that he's writing and producing, and his press has an upcoming anthology called Grab Bag, an eclectic collection of speculative fiction tales. So yes, multifaceted, multi-talented, and I'm excited and honored to welcome onto the show for the very first time, Scott McMahon. Yes, Scott, your mic should be on now. Welcome, Scott.
Stephen, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Stephen,
you sound good.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right, loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
In my spare time, learning two Oriental languages.
Yes.
Wow.
It would not surprise me.
What are you learning?
I'm learning how to juggle a lot of different things. And, I'm not bored.
No,
I'd say not.
That's. In our conversations, I'm really getting that sense about you. And of course, I got to hear about you a bit when Nicholas, one of your authors, was on the show. That was a very enjoyable show. We loved having him and look forward to having him back. But yes, we found out about your whole world with Cincinnati Fiction Writers, with Dragon Street Press. But I think maybe to kick off things, I think the best thing would be, since you're here for the first time for our audience, is to just talk about your creative journey, because it is multifaceted. I mean, you've got a lot of publishing, writers groups, you've got, I mean, everything, being an author. I mean, so yeah, give us a little picture about your creative path and where you're at and on all those fronts.
Well, sure, absolutely. And first off, I just want to say I absolutely appreciate the invitation to come onto the show, and it's a real treat. And so thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I'll start off and say, I was a little, I was expecting you to ask for a picture, and so I was surprised when you plucked one out of off my Facebook page, And that was a great shot because that now you removed the cartoon alligator that I was sitting on. So that picture was taken down at the Babcock Ranch down in Florida at the Alligator Ranch. But I saw that chair and I said to my sister, "Take a picture of me. This will look great." You know, when I saw you, had gone into Facebook, I thought, "Oh, and it's like, oh my gosh!" You know, it's like I've got thousands of pictures in there, but I suddenly remembered, and I sent you in Messenger, which I thought would be a great segue to the journey. In third grade, I've got all sorts of ridiculous things from my childhood that I've kept for nostalgic or stupid purposes. And this was a class project in third grade. Each of the kids had to, spell out solar system, S is for Saturn V. This is 1971, so, this is, Apollo. O is for orbit, L is for lunar module. And then we got to doodle as well, add little illustrations if we wanted. So I had little lunar module drawings that I put on there. And apparently it was good enough that the girl that I shared the page with asked me to illustrate her side as well. And then at the bottom, I wrote, "Pictures by Scott McMahon, copyright 1971. So even in third grade, I had ambitions.
Nice. Yes. And 71 is a... Yes. Yeah, I did. I love that when you sent that graphic through. I was like, wow, yeah, you began your journey like very, very early there. And that is awesome. So 71 is a very special year to me because that's when I came into existence. So, yes, 71 is an important year for me as well. So, but you've obviously done a lot since then. And you had activity going on in everything from like the writers group, Cincinnati Fiction Writers, to your press as an author. You've got Works in Progress, and I mentioned your novel Winter Solstice, and you've got short fiction, and then a film project. It's almost like where do we start this discussion? But I think it'd be fun. Let's go ahead and start with your author side a little bit. Winter Solstice being your first novel, then short fiction, and what's going on? Current works in progress. What's happening with you?
Yeah. So actually, Winter Solstice, which self-published in 2014. And that actually wrote the first draft of that in high school, and then got waylaid by life, which happens, and returned to it, many years later, a sadder but wiser person, feel that the intervening 30 plus years. Made me look at it with new eyes, and it turned out to be, in my opinion, a much truer story, story that kind of spoke more deeply, having experienced 30 years in between having written the first draft and writing the final draft, so. And Winter Solstice is the tagline is Nazis versus spies versus corporate robots versus college kids, and it's set in the 1970s, and sort of a alternate history satire spy novel, and very much in the 1970s mold. And,
nice.
But, it was a lot of fun. It was also a lot of fun returning to it. But it was it was a knot that needed to be a circle that needed to be closed, and so I could move on. So I did. And but one of the things I did to move on was the next year I joined Cincinnati Fiction Writers. I actually had never even heard of Meetup, and a high school friend of mine had posted on Facebook that she found a bike riding group on something called Meetup, and I read that and I got, it's like, I wonder what kind of groups are out there, and just started snooping around and thought, I wonder if there are any fiction groups around, and that's how I found them, and that was 2015. So it's been now nine years since I joined CFW, and at the beginning, the president was Wendy Vogel, my predecessor, and she was, which you may know her.
We do.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, she's excellent. I mean, she, I call her my fearless hero. she is an inspiration and certainly has been instrumental in my growth as a writer these last 10 years.
We hear that from her. Yeah, I was just going to say, we do hear that about her quite a bit. Nick also mentioned very similar things about Wendy, as far as her mentorship and help of his work, too. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just, she's great insight and is also physically, someone who inspires, she's, I think, very open to the fact that she's, been battling cancer and continues to do so. And she's a real inspiration in so many ways. So it was an honor when, 2 years ago, she, with so many things on her plate, she's a veterinarian as well, and asked me to take over the reins as president of the group. And
yes,
again, it was an honor, and it's like, yes, I'll do it.
Congratulations on that. Yeah, you joined the group 9 years ago, and here now you're the president. and not like you don't have a lot on your plate already, but that's quite saying something, because you have both in-person group like meetings, and then also, as I understand it, you have quite an online group that actually includes it's called Cincinnati Fiction Writers, but the online group, from what I understand, has even members from all over the world that are part of it. So it sounds like it's really expanded in concept too.
Yeah, it truly has. And we used to be all in person, 10 years ago, and the pandemic, of course, so many things, threw us for a loop, and we adapted and went online, and then as things eased, we started, so we split half and half. We have critique nights and we have social nights, and our social nights when we were online social nights were boring. Not nearly as fun, but we eventually went back out into the world, and then and the question is, well, should we go back to in-person critique nights? But the challenge there was that in the intervening time, we in the old days when someone would move away, get a new job somewhere, and it's like, well, you know, bye, keep in touch. You know, but now people move away, you know, and you know, they can sign in and be on, you know, join us for critique night. You know, so we've got mm-hmm. folks on the East Coast. We've got I think one or two members in Canada. Mm-hmm. We've got folks on the West Coast. We even had someone sign in from New Zealand, but she
yeah,
hasn't
heard about that.
Signed in for a while. But so we've got maybe this is all for the better, and we should just stay online when it comes to the critique nuts. So, mm-hmm. For the folks listening out there, I mean, what we mean by, you know, critique night is, so what we do is we'll have two folks volunteer to present 10 pages, double-spaced, 12-point font, of something they're working on. And then we'll go around the table, if you will, the virtual table. Everyone take a turn reading, and then we discuss what's working, what maybe has some challenges to it, and the focus is to be constructive, and I think that's probably one of the most important things is that. It's not hard to find a destructive critique out there in the world. But when you're amongst your own, your own kind and your own group, there's no need for that. Buck Rubanzai, said, we don't have to be mean, right? And so we focus on being constructive, being truthful, but being kind about it, It's a model that works really well, I think. And, because the room, the virtual room, should be a safe place. And, and not a safe place in terms of, the people are going to blow smoke and lie to you and say, oh, you're wonderful. Mm-hmm. But the people are going to, tell you the truth, going to be honest and focus on how do we make this better, So mm-hmm. I'm really pleased with the direction, we've moved the group and under my tenure, and God willing, we'll continue in that direction.
Yeah, and looks like you've grown. Oh, go ahead, Ollie. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say I do appreciate the online aspect because that does make it more inclusive, for people that could not get there due to maybe immune problems or disabilities, things like that. So they can still be included, in the critiques, which is really cool because, most things have went back to in person, and there are people that just can't get there in person. So applaud you all for continuing to do the online so that, those who could not be there can be a part of it.
Yeah, thank you. In wintertime, when there's, snow and ice out there, it used to be kind of an issue, and we'd be all sitting there, thinking, is Wendy going to call the meeting or not, and it's like now we don't have to worry about that, it's like the meeting is on.
mm-hmm.
Right. Weather doesn't affect,
But I do hear, though,
one of the other,
Nick, Nick had mentioned, though, that you all do have, for the in-person ones, I hear you have quite a great establishment, the place where he held his book launch. So he said it's quite the place for the gatherings, though. I hear it's a good setting. lots of good beverages there, too.
Absolutely. The beverages and the chow are excellent. It's Dingle House Pub, and shout out to them in Westchester. Up here, north of Cincinnati, halfway between Cincinnati and Dayton, and actually, you know, we're the Cincinnati Fiction Writers, but really, we could easily call ourselves the Cincinnati Dayton Fiction Writers. A good chunk of our membership, is to the north, you know. So really, we cover a really good swath of territory.
We were just up with the Flight Writers of Dayton a few weeks ago. We went up there and spoke for them. So, we might have to, buzz to Cincinnati, Westchester, and pay you all a visit. That'd be really cool.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be
awesome. We're second and fourth Mondays. You will find us at Dingle House, 7 p.m.
Nice. Yes, give the URL.
Buzz by. And
go ahead.
Stay up there. Yeah, I was going to say we could buzz by and put some drinks with you all and, take part. And yeah, that'd be cool. We'll have to talk about that. That'd be neat.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I do want to give the URL for the group, though, while we're on this part of it. www.meetup.com/writers-884/. So www.meetup.com/writers-884/. And that'll take you right to the site as far as the group, Cincinnati Fiction Writers. And we did put that in the chat room, and we will put that on our Facebook page. We will put that on the Facebook page and everything. But, that's where you find the info. But, group.
Excellent.
And,
appreciate that.
It.
Yeah, and folks can also just simply search in Meetup, Cincinnati Fiction Writers. That will find us, too. So appreciate that.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. People to find the good groups. Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually down in Louisville last week.
Nice. Nice. Book related or fun?
There was work. I was at Gamma Expo. They're downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was there as another one of the hats that I wear. I was attending on with the National Security Decision Making Game, which I think I mentioned to you. So that's I volunteer with. It's it's an educational nonprofit they go to it's sort of like an educational live action role play for political science geeks. I think.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's I'm looking at the Facebook. It's a fast-paced, challenging simulation of contemporary politics and internal strategic principles. It is modeled after simulations used by senior U.S. government officials. And
by
so we do historical.
So like
we
it's
do historical scenarios.
So just,
oh, I'm
yeah.
sorry. I'm talking
oh, you're
over
fine.
You.
I was just saying that it's like bipartisan. So you're just talking about, like the historical gusting, well, if we'd have done this, then this would have been the outcome. Or, if we'd have strategized this, then this, would have been the outcome.
Yeah, except it's experiential. So for instance, it's where the players play as if they're there. So if you, long ago there was a TV show, Walter Cronkite. It was on Saturday mornings called You Are There. And, you know, and where they recreate, you know, they recreated historical, you know, like the Alamo. So we do historical scenarios. We do current event scenarios, you know, like, you know, current events in Europe or in, you know, Taiwan and Korea and stuff like that. But we do historical ones like the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so, for instance, in the Cuban Missile Crisis, you might be given a card, you know, with your assignment and your President Kennedy. And on the front, it gives a description of, you know, of what's publicly known. And on the back are your motivations and your goals and what you're trying to achieve. And so depending on how many players we get signed up and some of the big conventions like Gen Con and Dragon Con, which are at Indianapolis and Atlanta, you know, we'll get over 100 folks signed up for a game. But so depending on how many folks are signed up will be how many countries are being played. And so, you know, so assignments are handed out, you know, and you might be the, you know, the Goldwater Republicans, or you might be the Dixiecrats, or you might be farmers, and so all these different, you know, positions and ways of thinking. And then there's the Soviet Union and you have Khrushchev and blah. And so, but the thing is that for the most part, if you're in the U.S., you're not exactly playing against the Soviets. If you're the Secretary of the Navy, the thing that you most want is a new aircraft carrier. And the biggest thing in your way is the Secretary of the Army, because he wants a new armor division. And so the politics and the negotiation is what the game is all about, and it's supposed to teach, folks, and it's geared for everyone. But we also do in a couple of weeks we're going up to the Culver Military Academy in Northern Indiana, and we're doing several games for them, So the notion is to teach about how decisions get made under stress, and that is not as clear cut as history books and as the internet might tell us. So it's a great game.
Nice.
I've played it off and on since the 90s. I mean, that's how long it's been around. Last year, I said, I've been saying for years I'm going to help run this thing. And so last year I joined up. So.
Well, Holly, I know what I'm going to play. You'll appreciate this, Holly. I'm going to play as Belize so that we can go completely unnoticed and have a stress-free time on the beach as my gameplay. But no, seriously, that sounds awesome, and that sounds like something that actually be right up my alley. I would love it. Yeah, being a historical buff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be. That'd be a fun game.
And, if you go to Origins, so Origins is in Columbus every June, usually every June. Gen Con is in Indianapolis, usually first weekend of August, and then Dragon Con is in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, and it's also huge, and that's over Labor Day weekend. So, and Dragon Con, in fact, was my first Dragon Con was this past Labor Day, and it was
that's
amazing.
And now Scott knows why Imaginarium is in July, with Origins in June and Dragon Con and Gen Con in August. Now you know why we're in July. those are huge events.
And they suck up all the oxygen, don't they? They are bummed that Imaginarium and Wendy and Nick and I We always go to Gem City, and it just so happens, which is in Dayton, and it just happens that this year they're on the same darn weekend.
Well, 2025, we'll hope that the stars align correctly, but we knew about that for sure. But we did not want to be in the midst of any of those Dragon Con level events, so we moved into July. That's a big one, but it's great. I've been and earlier. I've been to a few Dragon Cons, and they are definitely a something to experience. And definitely an amazing event, and Gen Con as well. Have not had experience at Origins yet, but I'm pretty much assuming it's on a scale like that. It's really big, so
it
sounds wonderful.
Actually, Origins is in my opinion is the most family friendly of the three. Because Dragon Con and Gen Con attract numbers in the 70,000 to 80,000 attendees.
Yeah, massive.
And Origins is in the 15 to 20. So which is still big. In the grand scale of things. But it is definitely a more human scale.
The other ones are definitely spectacles, and some of the biggest ones you're going to have this side of San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, definitely on this side of the country. So, definitely we're checking out.
I've never been to Comic-Con, but I have been to Anime Expo in L.A. About 10 years ago, and that also was a spectacle.
Oh, yes. Yeah, And that is great. I wish you luck on your return to all these massive events, and I'm sure you're spreading the word about Dragon Street Press. And I mentioned that's what you run earlier, and you have authors like Nick Everhart and Amber Boudreau on Dragon Street Press, and you have an anthology in the works, all kinds of stuff. But tell us, I'd like to get into now a little bit about Dragon Street Press and what you emphasize and your basic kind of approach to it and publishing schedule, and then we can talk about the new anthology with Grab Bag.
Yeah. Well, I think I love Nick's description. He's lately started calling us, describing
boutique.
Us as a boutique.
Yes.
And I think
I heard that. I remember that.
That works, because we're small.
I remember that.
I mean, we're small. Right now, as of right this tonight. So we have six books out total. We have two from the original owner, Sam Swicegood, and then we have two with Amber Boudreau, her Dragoneer stories. So The Dragoneer, and then her second book, The Dragoneer and the Pretender, which came out in 2022. And Amber's books are, is about a girl, a high school girl and her dragon. So she stumbles upon a young orphan dragon, out in the woods up in Wisconsin and, Can't say no. She's an orphan too, so she has empathy for him, and the tagline is high school is tough, but high school and a secret dragon, way tougher. It's a cute series, with some serious elements too. So it's not all, daisies, dragons, running through the flowers stuff. There's some very serious stuff too, there's some humor to it. One of the humorous things is that Zephyr, that's the name of the dragon, Zephyr has a has spicy taste buds. He loves Moira's spicy potato chips, and so
one of the nice.
Well, I can relate.
Yeah, Holly's like that too.
Like spicy chips? Yeah, I mean, right. Who doesn't like spicy chips? So I was working with Amber this afternoon. We're working on book number three. But we're still in the very early stages. So hoping maybe 2025, 2026, depending on how the developmental work goes.
Gotcha. Yeah, we'll definitely have to have Amber on the show at some point.
Oh, okay. Well,
definitely. Well,
I'm pretty sure she would be amenable to that.
But yes, Nick.
And
Nick is awesome. I am familiar with Nick's work. I am familiar with Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely talk about Nick. He's awesome.
Yeah. So when Nick. And of course, I was already familiar with Heartmaster, having being his friend, and he approached and said, "Would you guys be interested in Heartmaster?" And I said, "Well, it's like I am," and it's like, "We'll have to see what the partners think," because Dragon Street is run by a partnership. I mean, I'm the lead editor and kind of the face of the business, but I have partners. And one of the things we decided at the very start was that the important things like, which books, we publish and things like that, that those would be, unanimous decisions of the partnership. So so it's like Nick, I'm your champion here, but we're going to have to convince the rest. But we did, but part of that, of course, was after all the work Nick had been through, getting Heartmaster to that point, we then got out the scalpels and went to work again. But I do feel that the result of that was an even stronger book, and I think I said the same thing to Amber today. It's like the whole point of this is and it's like Cincinnati fiction writers too. The whole point of this is to make stronger stories. Stories that absolutely engage and resonate. And are meaningful. One of the things I, tell folks, about how I think of, my purpose as a writer and writing in general. And I say, we are the descendants of, the storytellers that, sat by the fires of our ancient ancestors and explained the mysteries of the night sky and of nature. And I feel it's our purpose is to provide some meaning, to it all. And so that people can, wrap their heads around the universe. So
absolutely. And as a lead editor, I was curious about, because I know all presses have a different vision for the types of stories that they emphasize or the types of things that they publish currently or want to publish eventually. What is the scope of like genres that you consider, look at, and are most interested in for this press in particular?
Yeah, that's a great question. So broadly, well, in theory, we're completely open to anything. However, what we're really fond of would be in the speculative range. defining speculative broadly, you know, so science fiction, fantasy, you know, dystopian, alternate history. So I would say that we have a sweet tooth for mm-hmm. you know, for that type of story. But you know, again, like one of the grab bag pieces that we're looking at. I mean, I haven't made any final decisions on the stories, but one of you know we've got a couple of horror stories, you know, and so you know that falls into the category. So we really, you know, try to focus more on as much as possible on finding great stories. And, you know, I would also say that although we're not prurient, but I would say that generally, you know, don't, you know, want, you know, stories that are, you know, going to, you know, exclude, you know, large swaths of people because of their language or mm-hmm. Or because of their content. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. Absolutely not. I've certainly read my fair share and written my fair share. But, you know, we do want to be, you know, to have a big tent, if you will, as much as possible.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I understand completely. And, yeah, I say that as my current read is Clive Barker's Books of Blood. I'm revisiting those right now. So I do understand. Yes, I do. As far as some things are a little more, you need to reserve for a different audience, yeah, for sure. Yes.
So for instance, I'm writing what I'm writing right now is it's about combat space nuns and
nice combat space nuns. Sold. I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean it's over the top too. And but one of the things I've set for myself is that, you know, all the cursing is all, you know, in made up curses, you know, in the far flung future, you know. So, you know, because again, you know, it's like want something that people can have fun with and not say, oh my God, you know, it's like 137 F-bombs in the first chapter.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I grew up in Catholic school growing up, and I can tell you, every once in a while when a nun gets mad enough, they will let maybe one word or two slip out. It does happen. And, yes, I went to school with the nuns that wore the full habits, yeah, Sisters of Notre Dame, and they were very, very stern and strict, and yeah, they would have a little colorful word every once in a while when they got really – right. But if you need a character of combat space nun, I immediately think of Holly because she loves the world of nuns and she would fit with combat. So if you need a character inspiration for a nun character for that, Holly's definitely your over the top person that you need for combat space nun.
Excellent.
I played a nun. I did play a nun. It was Mother Superior actually. Well, back at an Amy McCorickle film, we've got to get that thing out. I love doing that film, and it was so much fun to play the Mother Superior because I am 6'1", and I, you know, have this deep voice and this very big personality. So, yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah,
it.
Play the nun.
I tell you what, when I'm close to. Finishing the first draft, but I'll tell you what, when we have something that's been had a little bit of editing, if you'd like, you can be if you'd like to be a beta reader, I'd be happy to include
Most
you on
certainly.
The list.
Most
yeah, she would. I know it. Yeah, you already sold 100%. Me at combat. You had me sold at Combat Space Nuns. I mean, I was already sold right there. But
yeah,
that'd be great to check out.
That
is awesome.
And I'm an independent editor too. So yeah, I definitely like the beta read for you. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, excellent. And I know you mentioned one other tagline. You said Sergeant Rock meets aliens. You mentioned that in our little chat that we have.
Yeah.
sort of.
that'd
sounds
be
awesome.
The pitch, sort of.
That sounds great.
Well, it's
God.
It's like she's got Sister Agatha. So Sister Agatha is a hard fighting, hard loving, hard vaping, a soldier for goddess in church, with 1 foot in the grave and 1 foot on a creature's neck.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, that's the kind of character Holly will love. and myself, I should say. That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
This past summer, I was involved in a couple of film projects that I stumbled into. Which is my usual. It seems I just kind of stumble into things, but I'm grateful for each and every one of them. But so we're sitting there, and I got called on a Thursday night, and it's like, would you like to drive up to Dayton to play a mail carrier? In a 5 minute scene, as part of something bigger, and I said, sure,
why not?
Yeah. And so I ended up spending the whole day with them, for my 5 minute scene, because again, why not? And it was free pizza too. I mean, so we're sitting there in between shots, we're setting up the next scene, and we're gabbing, and I was telling them about the Combat Space Nuns story. And so when as the next scene is beginning to shot, the guy with the clapper, is just like, Combat Space Nuns, scene 3, take 5, click. And and that got recorded onto the
Nice.
All experiences like that, you chalk them up to learning experience, and you learn something from everything, and you get inspired, anything creative like that you stumble into, it's all a great inspiration, that you could use for further things down the road, and being an author, you people watch, so you pay attention to people's mannerisms, everything, you're like, oh yeah, I could use that for my character,
Oh yes,
absolutely. So how I got involved in all of that was one of my writer friends, Jordan, so we're sitting there at Dingle House, and this was last summer, or late spring. I mean, it was, so I said, hey, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm getting ready to, shoot a short film, it's called Donut Mafia. And, It's about a drug deal that goes bad, but it's not really a drug deal. And this is I'm still looking for a couple more goons, and I go, I could be a goon.
Nice.
He says, really? And it's like, yeah, okay, do it. Let's do it. So I did that. Played a goon, and it's almost finished, so it'll hopefully be up on YouTube in the next month or so.
Submit that to the Imaginarium's Film Festival, because our entries are open to late deadline all the way up through the end of May. So yeah, try to get that one in. That would be fun.
I will talk to Jordan about that. He's done such. If you didn't know, you'd think it was absolutely, out of Hollywood. It is, You know, it is amazing, equipment, the quality of equipment.
Definitely.
He's got a great eye. I mean, it's more than just the equipment. It's having that eye of knowing, so the lighting, what he's achieved with the lighting and creating the ambiance it's just like, wow, holy smoke,
That's how you can buy locate. That's how you can buy locate that weekend, because you'll be at Gem City, but then technically you'll also be present in Louisville too at the same time.
It's all from that. You know, I could be a goon, which then led to a conversation with Jordan and my other co-producer Leslie, and we're sitting there in Bingles, and saying, we should write something, we've all done some screenwriting, and we should write something. And then Jordan says, not only should we write something, we should film something. write it and then film it. We can write it. We've got the equipment. We know all the people, there's no reason why we can't. And it's like, okay, yeah, let's do it. So that's where we came up with the idea, and we said, okay, well, let's start small. Instead of a 90-minute, 102-hour film, let's start, small. So we're doing a 15 to 20 minute film, and so it's like, well, who's got an idea? And I said, well, I've got an idea. How about a modern adaptation of Franz Kafka's The Castle?
Oh,
and
nice. Very cool.
And, set in a corporate environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I spent 30 years in corporate America, so, I've got a little bit of knowledge to work with. And, we've written it. We've done, table reads, and right now we're in location scouting. We're planning to be, casting in the next month or two, and hopefully this summer, of all the stars align, we'll film this thing.
Nice. And so I'm assuming there'll be the Cincinnati area you'll be filming in and around.
That is definitely our thought. It's like we're casting a wide net. but the main thing is, like, we have no money for, it's not like I have a $5 million budget for real estate. So mostly we pay in pizza, and stuff.
Yeah.
We're trying to work the network, friends of friends.
Right.
And exchange, we'll mention people. We're thinking we could also even, shoot a commercial for someone, if that's how they wanted, to be compensated, or thanked, I guess is probably the better word. So we're working it. But it's pretty cool. It's something I have absolutely no experience with, I'm definitely learning that part, but it's okay. It's like, it's better to be learning things than forgetting things.
That's it. And like I said, everything you do is a learning experience. So yeah, that's wonderful. Got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, the idea is like, you're not getting any younger, and it's like, we never get any younger, and maybe in our heads, but not physically, and something I tell people, especially young people, but really anyone who listen to me, you know, is that it really helps to keep in mind, you know, as you, you know, go about things, you know, that there really is nothing that can't be taken from you in the blink of an
right.
eye. You know, everything you've ever known, you know, everything you've ever had, you know, family, friends, colleagues, experiences, and the memories of those things.
Yep.
Everything can be taken from you in an instant. And so it really is, you know, vitally important to, you know, to be humble in the face of that, and to make the most of every moment, you know, which is a gift, you know. So.
Yes, because tomorrow is not promised.
Right. That is absolutely so true.
And I think you got such a great filmmaking community up there. I mean, I've met so many amazing, you know, film talents from that area. I mean, last year at the convention, for one example, Ethan Avery, who we met for the first time person, and he's also an author, but he's also a great filmmaker and screenwriter. But I continuously meet people from your area that are just exceptional in filmmaking. So yeah, that's a great community to be doing a project in. I mean, yeah, if you're looking 100%. To cast the wide net, you'll definitely get some good people.
Yeah,
there's definitely some great indie folks up there.
I'm amazed, you know, the peeling away the layers of the onion, as there's just like there's just zillions of folks, which is really cool to meet a whole new range of people of creative people. I think one of the things I like about film is I board game a fair bit. I mean that's something I actually do for a hobby, and I really like co-op games, and it, maybe that's the army the army officer in me. I really like cooperative, collaborative, and I'm also the son of a coach. And so filmmaking is so collaborative and so cooperative. And, you know, and you've got all these really creative, intelligent folks with all this talent, but it's not all necessarily the same talent, but everyone is applying all that towards a mutual thing, and it's really exciting to be part of that.
Yep. And while I'm on that note, I just hit me. You might reach out to our guest of last week. He's a friend as well, but you can definitely use our name, Demetrius Witherspoon. He's over in Indianapolis, but he is extremely connected and not too far from you, and definitely a gem when it comes to being supportive of folks doing projects and giving them connections or referrals he's a great person to help, even if he's not directly involved or part of the project. I mean, he's always the kind of guy that will help. And there's some really great folks there, and yeah, I love the dynamic. I love that's that, yeah. I'm also a filmmaker, and that's the one thing that I do miss a bit when I'm in a run of just doing writing, because a lot of it's solitary, of course, and I do miss some of that collaborative aspect that you do get with the filmmaking. It's a great feeling. I love that you're doing both. that's cool to see.
Yeah. No, thank you, Stephen, and I will. I haven't yet listened to the show from last week, but it was on my list, so I will check out Demetrius and
he's a good guy.
I figured
it's timely because we just got done having him on the show, and it sounds like he'd be another good person that could be of help to you as you're going into the summer production, because. Yeah, he's one of the true champs out there in the indie film world, and there are a lot of good ones out there. But yeah, and if you do run across Ethan Avery, he's up in your area, but he's a super good guy. But yeah, I'll be looking at this. Keep me posted on this for sure, and hopefully next year, 2025, we can screen your new short film at our festival. That would be awesome. Definitely keep me tabs. But I'm going to circle back a little bit to Grab Bag, because you had the Grab Bag Anthology 1 2023. Now, as far as number two, though, I do want to get this out there because there are a lot of writers that listen to the show. Submissions and so forth. I wanted to go, because that you're still looking for stories, correct, for it? It's still open.
That is correct. We have two more weeks. March 31st is the we will close submissions. So
it is literally, quite literally, a grab bag. I
think back to, to the old days when I was a kid, and it always seemed to me, and whether it's totally my imagination, is that, those anthologies were just stuffed full of every which thing. And there was fantasy in there and science fiction in there and some of this and some of that. And it was, so it was just an adventure, opening up, a book of short stories and just, what's next? What's next? What's next? And so I wanted to do that. I didn't want to, this one's going to be about, rabbits that sing, and all the stories have to be about rabbits that sing or something. And I just didn't want to do that. I wanted to, to just say, send me cool stuff, So, science fiction, fantasy, speculative, dystopian, between 1,000 and 10,000 words. Something else is that those 1,000 to 10,000 words can be one story, two stories, three stories, as long as we meet the target of 1,000 to 10,000 words. So if someone is doing flash fiction, or medium flash fiction, that works too. So I'm trying to be really, open and accepting of what folks have to, to offer. And we just try and just find the best stories to put in there.
Sounds awesome. And now I'm going to be watching to see if a story about a singing rabbit makes your cut. Now I'm going to be curious. But you have, and I commend you on calling it Grab Bag, because Smorgasbord, the anthology, would be quite a mouthful for folks and to spell it. So I think Grab Bag is a perfect title for this. That sounds absolutely great. This looks like a cool series. Especially with the range that you have in it, the length of stories and I'm looking at it from my editor eye and then a press eye, but yeah, having the length of stories and then the very broad genre openness there, it sounds like it will be a really, as you said, eclectic, very interesting mix of storytelling. That intrigues me.
And the theme behind the covers. I don't know if you've seen the grab bag number one, there's a bag on the table and there's an arm reaching out of the bag. And so it is kind of a play on the idea of grab bag, it's sort of like a mimic.
Now those gold coins, though, they're falling from his hand, or is he about to grab gold coins? Is that what those are? The circular objects.
Those are gold coins, kind of flying. Yes. Those are gold coins flying around from the action of the arm. Yeah.
So hey, I mean that's encouraging. It means that all the authors, these are going to do so well that they're going to generate gold coins. So that's even better for indie authors. No, but seriously though, yeah, that is a cool cover and definitely fits the theme great. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact,
so
and it's only $11.95 currently on the Zon. So yeah, it's got a really good price point, and you've got it on Kindle Unlimited. So yeah, you can get it easy there.
Yeah
it looks nice.
I will say, unfortunately, at this stage, again being so ridiculously small, that we don't offer anything other than a digital copy of mm-hmm. the final book to the authors. However, we're keeping all the names of everybody, and we our fingers are crossed that we will by maybe next year or the year be able to go back to everyone and offer at least something monetary. But that's kind of our our goal is is that we don't want to be a charity because mm-hmm. Because we're writers too, and it's like
sure.
but at the moment we're asking folks to to be generous with their creativity. The rights we ask, we ask for serial rights and serial reprint rights, and that's all we want. The stories belong, the stories belong to the authors, and absolutely.
Nice. Well, that's a great. I also want to mention though, for folks who are listening, who are hearing us talk about some of the authors that are either with Dragon Street Press or that are part of Cincinnati Fiction Writers. But if you do get the first one that is out and you want to try out some authors, Wendy Vogel is on it, and so is Amber Boudreau, so is Nicholas Everhart, and also Jerry Maynard, who Holly and I think very highly of as well. We're familiar with her work. And and I'm sure that some of the others that we haven't met yet are fantastic. But that is a good way for folks to check out and sample some of the authors that we've talked about on the show tonight, because it's got all of them. And then again, I'd like to mention a shout out to Jerry Maynard, because she is awesome. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she is. Cool. And actually,
so go buy it, folks.
I decided to lead off with Jerry's story. Which is a really clever story.
Yeah, 17 stories. Nice. Very cool. And, again, on Amazon right now, it's only $11.95. So, yeah, inexpensive,
wow.
Folks. Easy to get.
Stories.
And the ebook is only $4.99 if you don't have Kindle Unlimited. And, I encourage you to check this out, because there's a lot of good writers from up in the Cincinnati area there that are on this. So definitely look this up. I think I'm going to get a copy here.
Thank you.
So.
Steven, did you check out the chat room? One of his authors made a comment and said that Scott pays in gold foil wrapped chocolate.
Hey, I'll write for that even. Yeah, that's a treat. I love those.
There he says you pay a gold foil wrapped chocolate. He's you must be like Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
The golden.
Well, I've been called many things. I haven't called many things. I've not yet been called Willy Wonka.
Well, hey, you can add that to the list now.
Yeah, there you go. I appreciate the comparison for sure.
Nice. Well, it's one of my favorite characters of all time as far as characters. So, I take that as a compliment for sure. Yeah, because I know Holly and I love
absolutely.
Willy Wonka stuff. But, I want to definitely encourage folks to get that book. It's a great way to check out some of these writers. And you're in it, too. So, check out your work as well. So that is awesome. And but I'm going to circle back another work in progress, and I do want to hear about this because this one really, really interests me. And you had one that you mentioned to me in our chat that was safe to discuss tonight. Militopia, Near Future America is a Military Democracy, and Everyone is in Uniform, Even Kids. Another great hook. So, I mean, you were really good with short hooks here on these stories. But, yeah, I want to hear about that. It says you have that plan for 2024, 2025. What's the scoop on that one? That sounds
that
really
is,
cool, too.
That is the hope. We don't have anything yet to announce, but that is the – our target is this later this year or next year to finally have Militopia out. So the idea is an America in the near future, which has been transformed by war into a military democracy, so. It is set in the small Ohio town of Chillicothe, Ohio, and which is if you know that, actually was once the state capital of Ohio a long time ago, and it features an army colonel who is returning from his days of active service. However, the army's done with him. However, again, there are no civilians left. He is transferred to the Homeland Guard. So you and Holly and I, we would all be in the Homeland Guard. And the idea is that it's kind of like if everyone was in the National Guard, and on weekends we soldier, but then even during the week we soldier, at the convenience store, Sergeant Smith and Lieutenant Frank. When you go to get your cup of coffee at Starbucks, and it's yes sir, yes ma'am, so you have military, military courtesy to one another. I spent 15 years in the military, back in the 80s and early 90s. And it was really a very transformative experience for me. I mean, it had a massive effect on me. And one of the things that I tried to capture with this is one of the kind of messages is the idea that in our civilian world, in our current world, if you or I are walking down the street and Elon Musk walks coming in the other direction and we say, "Hi, Elon," I mean, he ignores us, right? Because we're pond scum. We're nothing, right? And he's a billionaire. But if it's General Elon Musk, even four-star General Elon Musk, and it's privates Holly, Stephen, and Scott walking down the sidewalk, and we raise our arms and salute, "Good afternoon, General." He has to return our salute. He has to acknowledge that we exist.
Right.
And I think that notion is something
that I was going for with this book, you know, to pursue how that could be a something that was compelling and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is interesting. Yeah. Well, keep me posted on that, because that's another one. I mean, Combat Space Nuns,
yep.
definitely Militopia. Yeah, both of them, because I'm looking forward to this.
Two very different, both military.
Yes.
Both military.
I'm seeing that. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Both military, but
wide range.
Very different stories.
Wide range. Now, we're coming up on the last minute in the show, so I do want to get your websites out there. www.macmann.com, and that's MACMANN.com. MacMann.com with two N's. And then also www.DragonStreetPress, and that's just straight out, DragonStreetPress.com. But that is your website and the press website. I want to make sure we get those in there. Are there any, before we wrap up, are there any other handles or anything else you want to get out to folks for connecting with you?
Nope, you've nailed them all.
Awesome. Well, Scott, this has been an awesome night. I've really enjoyed getting a deep dive into your work with Cincinnati Fiction Writers, Dragon Street Press, your new anthology project, the short film, new short film K, National Security Decision Making Game. That sounds so intriguing. But then your writing and your upcoming projects. I mean, it's been I think we've about covered it all. So I mean,
it's been a wonderful
night. And I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a fabulous conversation.
It's been a blast. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it, and it's been great. Thank you.
You got it,
Scott.
And we'll have you back sooner than later. And we will definitely support your authors and your projects and your writing group, and keep us posted. And if there's folks that, we'd love to hear from Amber on the show and everything. So keep us in the loop, and we'll do our part to support you. And at this point, I'll turn it over to Holly to close it out with you, and she let her do the honors.
All righty.
Excellent. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Scott. Don't be a stranger, and we're gonna have to buzz up to check out your group sometime. That'd be fun. We'll chat with you about it and see when be a good time. And we can share some information, whatever you'd like us to do. And that'd be fun. I think it'd be a
excellent
blast.
There's always a seat open at our table, so you're always welcome.
I appreciate that. And thank you for coming on the show tonight. And we love talking to your authors, and send them our way. We love to chit chat with them.
Can do. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. And to all the
good
listeners
night,
out there, to do what, honey?
Well, I say good night, folks.
Oh yeah.
Good night.
Good night. Next Wednesday, join us for another great guest, another great talk at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the rest of the week, be creative. Good night, all.